All right, at the end of the podcast, we have a little bonus for you. It's a little bonus. It's Justin Moore, Big D, bonus.
A little joke.
So coming up, we're going to celebrate his 14 number ones with a quick check-in with him. Right, it's so interesting because right after he talked with us, like that same day, he ended up getting injured. Hurt his knee, and now he's on crutches. So you'll hear pre-crutches Justin Moore celebrating his 14th number one with us after the closing jingle.
Big D and Bubba.
Oh, wait, I forgot the thingy.
And now,
The
Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Oh, and it changed.
It changes.
Oh, we'll never know which one that was.
Sounded like Phineas and Ferb.
Big D and Bubba, they have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind, so they have an extra one, and that's how we get the podcast.
This is not bad.
Casey Musgrave.
Big D and Bubba's podcast.
Feels like an acapella competition.
Big D and Bubba's podcast.
About to do the cups. What up?
The cups.
Yeah.
Did kind of sound like her. Our guest this week is Scott Scovel. What's up, Scott?
Howdy.
What's your mom call you? Scott? Scotty?
Scott.
Yeah. You have, I was just telling him, I don't know how we have not met each other. This is a small, very small industry. Nashville is a very small town in a way. I can't believe that we haven't, you explain to us, for those who don't know, what your background is.
I'm in the live side of entertainment.
So like concerts and stuff
Yeah, so my company, Mood TV, when you go to a show and see screens and cameras and video production that's huge at the show. For example, the Luke Combs tour we just put out, that's all of our stuff.
Dude, that's a new, isn't that a new set?
It is, and it's impressive.
I haven't seen the new set yet.
I saw Jake Worthington, he posted a video, he's like, he walks out and he goes, I don't know, this is going up the nails. And it's like all these crazy, all the fire and stuff, because they start off with Oklahoma, don't they?
It's awesome, yeah.
And it's like, blah, blah, blah. It's insane. And so you're part of planning that or
making
that's
my
it?
Equipment. So we do both, right? So it's Moo TV's equipment. And then my creative company, Moo Creative, did the visuals that are all up on the screen. So those are the two parts that I play.
Oh, so you do all
and
of
comic
that.
Relief.
Oh, that's kind of cool. Yeah. I love all that. Yeah. Man, it's neat to see how much planning goes into it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's now instead of just a concert, it is literally a show that we go to.
It's an experience.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Luke is so incredible. So how fun to work with him, right? What great human, man.
Who else are you working with? Can we say? I mean,
sure.
Let's drop a
track,
few.
Right? So, you know, in country, it's Dirk. I always hate doing this because I'm going to forget somebody important.
I have
it. So I love all my clients, but it's Dirk, who's currently opening on Luke's thing. Brad Paisley, Chris Stapleton. So, you know, so many. Cody
you
Johnson.
You do other genres as well?
We do. Tame Impala, Dropkick Murphys, Peter Frampton, who's in my book. Yeah.
Dude, you do Dropkick. That's cool.
Oh, they're great. They're so fun.
Hardy.
So fun. Hardy. Yep. Thank you. Please read.
Walker Hayes, Parker McCollum.
Yep.
Luke Combs, someone whose logo is so small and not very easy to read. Can't tell you. Martina. Hey, Garth. Carson.
Yeah. G-Dog.
Wow.
Carson is heard of him. Carson is
he put a little something huge in the book too. What a great human. What a great
so
human.
Your book, it's called Tenacious, The Art of Relentlessly Pursuing Your Wildest Dreams. Is it kind of a memoir? Is it kind of a playbook?
It's more of a playbook. They call it a self-help book, but I cringe at that because so many self-help books tell you what to do. And I don't like being told what to do.
Right.
If you tell me what to do, I probably won't to my own peril.
Yeah.
But what I do love is hearing stories and learning from those. I want to see how you won and get excited with you. And I also want to see how you failed and die a little bit with you.
Who do you like? Who do you like is this is someone who I can learn from. I want to hear a story from who?
Oh, God. In the book. So the music ones, Frampton, I learned so much about Frampton in the book. And I've known him for years and worked with him for years. I did not know that he and David Bowie went to high school together and hung out. Oh. And I worked for Bowie. I spent a year with Bowie way back in 1990. And I'm like, what? So he finished talking to me about it. And I'm like, Peter, I did not know you and David were friends. They used to hang out in the hallway in their high school and play guitar in between classes. Can you imagine those two
Amanda Wright.
Musical
legends.
That's your high school?
That was their high school.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. That is, like, yeah, I could imagine, like, oh, yeah, that is, like, they're showing off a yearbook.
So that was
talent. I bet their talent show was awesome.
Yeah.
But Peter's like going,
a lot of people didn't get it.
People are like, what is that? That's
it was
weird.
Terrible for the people that came in third and below.
The poor kid who's a magician.
They left music immediately. They're like, oh, yeah.
Bling, 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 bling. And their dad said, I'm so proud of him. So, yeah, those are great. Those are great guys that you can learn from. You know, I think... You know, when people like everyone hates their job and everyone hates their boss, and they get up in the morning and they're like, oh, I don't want to do this. Why am I doing this? Why do we need money? Everything is free. The God never meant this, and that kind of stuff. And it's easy for people to get really bummy about everyday life because they're not doing what their spirit is.
I think there's a lot of that is mindset, though, too. Yeah. I mean, when you get in a rut, when you get in that mode, it's really hard to get out of it.
Yeah.
And I that's something anytime I've ever found myself drifting that way, I catch it quick and I'm like, course correction, let's go, and then fix it because I love coming to work. I wake up and I go, all right, I get to go to work today. This will be fun. You know, like I don't like waking up on my off days because then I'm like, what do I do?
Yeah. It's fun to have a dream, right? And everything gets interesting when you have a dream. And that's the difference maker. And especially if you're willing to chase it. Because there's all these reasons to not chase it. Like if I do this, I might find out I'm not good enough to get my dream. I might prove that I'm as maybe as bad as I feel like I am inside in ways. But if you get out there and get moving and start chasing a dream, you stop feeling that way. Even if you fail, you fail trying, and that feels so good.
And the dream doesn't have to be something gigantic.
It doesn't.
The dream could be I want to start a new hobby.
Yes. Yeah, it could be anything. It'd be like, I want to do a garden. It could be, you know, whatever. But, you know, for me, it was first a career. That's what taught me to be tenacious. But later on in the book, you know, I decided it'd be fun to sing. A band asked me to start being a vocalist in Norway. They asked me to join their band.
Did you have to sing in Norwegian?
I did not. They all speak English better than most of us, including me. And,
hello.
Yeah.
I like the way they say hello.
Yeah, yeah.
Hello.
Hi,
hello.
Yeah. Yeah, and so they were like, hey, join our band. I'm like, well, that's dumb. No. Pause. Sounds fun. Yes.
What kind of band is it?
Well, now I'm a solo artist, but a band named Spinning Wheels, amazing group of guys, heard me singing at a party. It was 4 a.m., so it might have been an interesting version.
Right.
And I was singing Johnny Cash Hurt, and they were like, you need to join our band, and you need to play with us tomorrow. And I was like, no. And the next night, they dragged me up on stage, and I sang. And I've loved music my whole life. I never dreamed that I could have a voice in it. Like my whole life of doing production was just so I could be a part of the magic.
I bet your stage show is great.
I save
all this stuff for himself.
I've spent all of my life studying masters. I've been a video director most of my life, right? Yeah. You know, I've directed Garth. I've directed Alan Jackson. I've directed Brad Paisley. I've spent my whole life studying masters. So when the light comes on, I actually kind of know what to do on stage. I'm like, oh,
walk the walk now.
Channel a little bit of all my role models.
You ever catch yourself? You're on stage and you're like, that was a little bit of Bowie. I just pulled a Bowie.
I don't think I pull a Bowie ever. I don't think I ever do.
That's a back I just did.
Hey, getting to like the stage stuff. What's like the new cool tactic or toy or technology?
You know, AI's coming, and so cameras that are steering themselves are starting to really make sense a little bit, but that's coming. You know, there's robotic cameras on Luke Combs. They're not walking around with cameras on their shoulders. They're on like on a rail. And
oh, that's what I was going to say. It's on like what do you call those tracks or whatever? So it slides and does. Yep. Wow.
Yeah. So that's coming, but we aren't far away from probably robotic cameramen walking around humanoid. Who knows?
Those little dogs.
It's not like we're planning for it. But.
Like I've seen indoor drones in an arena, but what about like drone cameras?
We're not doing that because they don't want drones flying over a crowd. A, it could fall on them, and B, they really want to regulate that airspace because someone could come in as a threat, right?
Oh.
So
why is something flashing?
Speaking of threat,
the alarm system's going off.
Fire.
Yeah.
Did our alarms going off?
Yeah. Are we in danger? Should I run?
I hope so.
Scott, I don't know.
I'm
going to go take a look.
You're going to have to ask him because I'm going to pass you.
Yeah, go ask the firefighter. I was about to go check.
Here we go.
Oh, here he goes.
Oh, here we go, Bob.
Fireman Bubba just ran out of the room.
Scott,
he's going to save us, isn't he, Big D?
Dude, you don't even know.
He's going to save us.
Oh, my gosh. If he can do a fireman carry.
He dreams of this.
Okay.
This is, you know, our guys.
We'll make it a big deal when he comes.
Let's really, yeah, let's good boy him.
Thanks for keeping us safe.
Yeah, let's pat him on the head and give him a treat.
You got to support your special friends.
Yeah, just right. Hey, way to go, man. I don't think we could have made this without you.
Big round of applause.
Give it up for Bubba, everyone.
Absolutely. Everyone out there, Bubba is saving us right now.
Yeah, I don't even know what's happening.
This is what probably happened, is that the alarm was set upstairs and they're doing some construction work up there, and I have a feeling that this is a false alarm.
Okay.
That's my guess.
Yeah, or we could really be in danger.
Or this is Bubba's
saving us.
Time
could be that
to
shine.
This is Bubba's moment.
Scott,
we'll be like, oh, here he is. We can't talk about needs fortune.
Oh, thank you.
Hey, dude. Wow. Hey, good job, dude. Thank you, man.
So you did it. We're
what
okay?
happened?
No, what's still going on?
He's back.
What's happening? First responder.
We're still investigating.
Oh, we're still doing this.
Oh, it's
okay,
not
good.
Even
well,
over.
If he's doing this, I have a question for Scott. So,
okay.
Because I just happened to notice on your roster of the legends that you've worked with, the Rolling Stones are on.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so do I have to go to Atlanta tomorrow to get their album? Because they just dropped a whole big thing. And is there a tour I need to prepare for?
So I don't work with the Stones
now. But you
now.
Know somebody.
But
I bet you know
I
people.
I might know somebody.
That's
yeah.
why I was like, look, man, I get it. I'm not asking
it's
you to
a small
play.
Business. It
yeah,
is.
Exactly. I know you know people. Yeah. I'm just saying.
But, you know, God.
I applied for a passport, D.
Scott, are you glad you came today?
Sort of.
We got a good
I'm thinking
yeah,
about
like,
it. You know what, can I keep you posted on that?
Yeah, that's fair.
All right.
We'll give you a survey at the end. Yeah.
Big D, an update there. Yeah.
A fake emergency
going
on.
I'm frantically getting texts like, get to Atlanta, the Cockroaches album is at this record store tomorrow morning.
How many times have you seen them?
Me?
Mm-hmm.
I've seen them on every tour since 94. Yeah. So, but that doesn't necessarily equate to a huge handful.
I think I've seen him more.
I bet you have, sir.
Mick actually gave me a watch for perfect attendance, and only like 28 of us got it. And
wow.
Yeah, out of like a 400-person crew. It was a massive
Where are you
tour.
From originally?
Upstate New York. Grew up on a farm, basically. We didn't farm, but my neighbor did. So
yeah,
I did a lot of his chores with him.
So you're like a rural kid.
I am. I'm a farm kid. Grew up in the country. Which is great. I think I got good at entertaining myself because there wasn't much to do. Yeah. So the imagination was necessary.
I think it's cool how, you know, how people, are we good?
I guess.
He did it again. For those of you keeping track at home, we've been saved twice now by Bubba.
Bubba, I think I'm going to have to name a kid after you now.
Wow. Yeah.
I can't have a kid.
No,
especially if it's a girl.
I went and checked all around, looked outside.
This is my daughter, Bubba.
It's my,
I'm going to name two. I have two daughters. My daughter, Bubba. This is my other daughter, Bubba.
Now, Scott, I can't have kids because I had a vasectomy. I had it twice, actually.
Okay.
The first one didn't take.
Just to be sure.
No, the first one did not take.
Really?
Oh, yeah,
really?
You have to test. They have to test you and all that.
Okay.
Yeah. So gotcha. You go in, like, you ever had it done?
I have not had it done.
So I'll tell you, you get it done and you're awake the entire time. And
Fantastic.
They have a post. Yeah, they put you in a Fantastic. Room. And this is my experience. I was on a man, it was like a when you go to a doctor's office and you're like, oh, wait, the doctor will be here in just a second. It's that kind of table with that white paper on it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm laying there and there's a poster of a Kenny Chesney Vacation on the ceiling.
Okay.
And they come in and they put
in lieu of anesthesia.
Yeah, well, this is probably going to sting a little bit, but look at those waves.
Just look at that picture, and your pina colada. Okay, it's not really a pina colada, but it's got a grapefruit in it.
Speaking of penis, coladas. but yeah, then they do their thing. It's
terrifying.
Quite a thing. But mine didn't take.
Yeah.
So I have earned my moniker.
Yeah, I'm glad this came up because I was afraid we weren't going to talk about this.
Aren't you glad you came?
Is there a chapter in your book?
I feel
like
I'm really getting to know you.
Is there going to be another book?
You know?
Chapter 3. So the book is called...
Big D's Nuts.
That's when you become...
It's called Tenacious.
Don't give up.
Tenacious D. Never give up. Sometimes the first one just doesn't take. You don't give up. You go back in there. You let them go back down there again.
Yesterday,
finish the job.
Yesterday was my 11 year. I was just showing. It was my 11 year anniversary.
Of your SNP?
Yeah.
Oh, congrats.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Wow. I got to send you. Is there a card for that?
Yeah, I think so. I think I saw that in the
CVS
special event aisle.
So when you are, when artists come to you about planning their stage show and the video screens and all that, do a lot of them have something that they have in mind, or do you have to kind of go, is it kind of like when you die and they show you all the different caskets that you can be buried in?
Yeah, it's really varied, right? So some artists want, they're like, where's the microphone? And just show me where to sing. And they don't want to think about it. And I love, if you want to focus on your part of the art, that's great. And then there's guys like Brad Paisley who are like, here's what I'm thinking. Can we do something like this? Or he'll have me come with ideas, but he'll have his own.
Yeah.
So when I show up at that first meeting, he's got a lot of ideas too. I'll tell him first and he'll go, cool, but can we also do this? And he'll say something crazy like, can I swim off stage? And I'll be like, sure. Okay, cool. How are we going to do that?
I'm
like,
off stage,
I don't know.
By swim off
we
stage.
Did that. Yeah, I don't know if you've seen Taylor swimming, but she was the opening act the year that we started having Brad swim off stage. So,
So are these things that you have to invent? And manufacture?
Yep. So in this case, we had a big long riser on the back edge of the stage that was about 7 feet tall that was faced with video. And then there's a video screen behind it. And Brad walks up on the riser. A trap door opens. In his ears, he hears jump, 3, 2, 1. And he jumps and goes into the trap door. And just then we've timed out a video where we shot him landing in the water at a big pool, which is actually very hard to shoot. Yeah. And he goes into the water and turns and swims out of frame. And that's him swimming off stage. He jumps into the water and swims off stage. That was
because
the H2O tour.
I saw
the song Water.
Yeah.
During the Taylor thing, they messed up a couple times. She would jump in with one outfit and then it would be another one swimming. And you're like, no,
really?
They goofed on that one.
Yeah.
But I guess that's the danger of changing
things. It's a good one to bring up to him.
With the lighting and all, you really couldn't tell.
So fascinating.
If you're really looking.
The magic of it is brilliant.
I'm glad you weren't there. You would have broken it for everybody.
I said nothing to you.
That's not the same blouse!
I said nothing to no one, but it's just like, I just, you know me, I'm picking it up. I'm like, ooh, I don't like people standing up at concerts because I want to see everything. I want to take it all in. And the problem is everybody wants to stand and dance. Yeah. I'm like, stop it. No.
Stop having a good time.
That's it. That's what I want. I want you to just sit there and let me watch my show.
He's not just the fireman. He's also the police. He's the fun police.
I had to make sure he got balcony seats for a show in the front row.
Oh, I love those seats.
Right, because that way he doesn't have to stand up.
That's exactly where I want to sit, too. That is exactly where I want to sit.
Nobody bugging me. And I'm not in anybody's way.
Yeah. And I get in the front of the aisle seats and I'm dancing, but I'm short. I don't bother anybody.
I remember watching George Strait. I love George, but you're not going there for the pyrotechnics.
Nope. I directed Alan Jackson for 18 years on the road, and he swings his left knee, left, right. And then he shifts his weight and swings his right knee, left, right.
Yeah.
That's about it. But the music's amazing, and that's why he hired me. His manager said, I'm trying to compete with Garth Brooks with a guy who won't move. Can you please move the world behind him? And so I created all kinds of energy and excitement behind Alan on the video screens so that Alan could be Alan. Alan doesn't want to do that stuff.
Frankie Valli, I saw him years ago, and he also the same thing. He didn't move.
Yeah.
I don't want to say couldn't, but he was in his 80s.
Yeah.
And so he had, the way they did his show is like they had all these dancers and people moving around him. So it felt like there was constant movement.
Yep.
So you have to take all of that into consideration. Yep.
And Alan can move. He just doesn't want to. So I'm so proud to help Alan be Alan. Yeah. That's what Alan wants to do. And guess what? Entertainer of the Year multiple times, Hall of Fame. Pretty amazing being Alan Jackson.
Do you think he doesn't have to move? You think we'll get into more of the hologram or the AI projection technology?
Yeah, we actually pioneered some of that. It was Brad's idea. He said, "Hey, I heard that at Coachella they had just brought up the rapper who had passed
away." Was that the Tupac one?
It was Tupac.
He said, "I want to do that with Carrie Underwood and I." And I was like, "Oh, buddy, that is like." They use a huge mirror for that, and they load it into the place, and they didn't travel with it. Like, it just showed up for that one show, and it was like a 30-foot-wide mirror. And I'm like, let me think about it. And so we developed a system with a very high-res video screen. I said, it can't be the screens that we're using because everybody knows where they are. So we had a screen that was the size of Carrie laying on its back on a hydraulic lift with the guitar player standing on it the whole show. And then he got off of it during the set change for that one song. Silently, the screen would lift up. It was really bright. It was really high-res images of Carrie. She interacted with him. He had marks to hit, so she, her eyes followed him around the stage.
Oh, wow.
He looked at her, and then there was a spotlight that fell right at the feet of it. We had a light-absorbing carpet there, and that whole depth with the smoke and the lights and everything, and we did a little imperfection. The spotlight didn't come up at the right time on purpose on the video, and the LD has it in his ears when to do it at the wrong time that will line up. And we did all that, and people were like, oh, my gosh, Carrie Underwood was at Brad's show last night. The New York Times wanted to do an article on it.
It was that good that people thought she was there.
People were giving her a hard time. She was apologizing to radio stations for not visiting them while she was in town. She's like, if you look, I was in Des Moines doing a show.
It's not about you, radio.
But New York Times wanted to do an article featuring the Tupac thing and what we did with Brad. And Brad's like, oh, you can't do that. And I said, why not? And he said, well, people will know. And I said, Brad, are you suggesting that all of these country fans read the New York Times? Because I don't read the New York Times, but
not
anyway.
My house.
But, you know.
You address this in the book, but it sounds to me like you're very much there's never a no out of you.
Yeah, there's a no sometimes.
Because it sounds like they come to you with an idea and you're like,
if it's fun, it's always yes. See? How about that? If it's fun, it's yes.
Okay.
And even if it's hard, especially. Like, okay. So yeah, Brad's like, can I swim off stage? Yes. How are we gonna do that? I have no idea.
Is there ever a money issue?
Yeah. Sometimes things get trimmed, but not that much. Not that much. If it's a money issue, it's probably a no, because I probably think about it in a second and go, boy, I really don't we could do that.
Or I was going to say, have you shifted something and come up with a better idea because of the money issue where something is just cost prohibitive, and then you say, well, what if we do it a little more low tech and we do this?
Moving that 30-foot mirror around, right? And you'd break how many of them and whatever. And so we said, oh, we could do this LED screen, which was still a couple hundred grand for it was cutting edge what we did. And a custom hydraulic lift and all that.
Wow.
But if Brad's going to use it for the next 5-6 years, we changed up duet partners. We had Alison Krauss on it. We've used it. And we would reshoot Carrie doing different songs or different moments. And
wow.
So we'd be like, hey, Carrie, can we do it again?
Sure. What do you think the average cost of a stage production for like a Luke Combs or a Paisley?
It's insane. I don't want to say out loud.
Yeah.
It's a lot. That's why ticket costs are what they are.
Is it more than $50?
It is more than $50. Okay. It is. Yeah. You know, I know that we used some of the gear we already owned, and we purchased another like $5.5 million just video for Luke Combs.
Well, I think
but we already used some of the stuff we had. So
you're deep in it.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, you were just talking about that one screen for Carrie being a $100,000 screen.
Yeah.
But also, I mean, when you are talking
stadium. It was cutting edge. It was like it was the best thing available, right?
When you go back and watch like YouTube videos, stadium concerts from the 80s, people brought binoculars to stadiums because that was it. It was the band on stage. I mean, there's like an inflatable or something.
There weren't the big side screens.
No, and now you can sit in that. I've done it. I've been at the very last moment of MetLife, like Giant Stadium, and, being able to go down. And you're getting a show.
I watch the screens more than the stage nowadays anyway, most of the time.
95% of the audience watches the screens. Yeah.
What's crazy to me is the people that have their phones up and they're filming the screen.
Yeah.
I'm like, what are you doing? You're filming a TV.
I know.
It's so crazy.
Yeah. But, there's more than one sense, right? So that's what they're looking at, but their ears are taking it all in. And they're,
I mean, but Scott's equipment is so good. I'm being real with you. There are times I filmed a screen and I crop it just right.
Yeah.
And people think she was that close. Like,
Well, they're used to you being that close, though.
Yeah. I think it's like one or two times, but it's a little trick of the trade on Insta, folks.
So you play as well?
I do. It started as a goofy, as a kid, I was told I couldn't sing. In elementary school, teacher said, someone over here sounds terrible. And I went, oh, that's me. And I stopped singing and spent my whole life thinking I couldn't sing. Also, I'm a baritone and I grew up in the 80s. So I sing down here.
Striper's not using it.
Yeah, and in the 80s is don't stop believing. Yeah, you're like to head voice, right?
Hell
yeah.
With the devil.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you even know who Striper is?
I do know. Are you kidding? Child of the 80s. Thank of course you. I do. Oh God, I would look like I fit right in. I had a mullet that would blow your mind back then. I could grab my belt loop and my hair. I am not kidding. And it was short in front. And you might think that looked bad.
It did not.
But it looked terrible. But I lived it. Yeah,
I like your setups. It's good. you came about this book and you're just like, you know what? Is this for you? Or is this for others, you think?
It's definitely for others. A friend of mine, I'd started public speaking because I found out I was afraid of public speaking and I don't like being afraid of things. So MooTV won Video Company of the Year, ran up to accept the award at Polestar, walked off stage and fell against the wall thinking I was having a stroke. I had an anxiety attack. I'd stopped breathing because I was so scared.
Oh, wow.
And I went, I don't like being afraid. So I went to a couple colleges, and the second college I went to, a girl up front started crying. And I said, what's going on? And she had quit school that day. This was the last thing she was going to do in college. And while she was sitting listening to me, she said, I just realized if you could do all the things you did, I could finish school.
No, wow.
And as soon as I decided that, I started crying. I'm so sorry. It was magic. And I was like, ooh. So I went with one of the guys in the book. There's an entrepreneur. I got lots of guests in the book, but an entrepreneur wrote part of it. And I had him coach me on how to speak. And first day he said, you're such a storyteller, like you need to write a book. And I was like, I don't think so. But planted the bug. And when I realized if I were to write a book, I would write a book about tenacity, because that force has made all the difference in my life and all of my famous friends. Mm-hmm. Then I was like, well, now I have to write it, because this is something I could really share with people that might
help
them.
It's also a book that you want to read.
Yeah, it's fun. It's not a self-help book that's like, yeah. Do this, you big dummy.
How do you convince someone to get motivated? Like, you know, you're talking about, there's a lot of people who are, I say you're talking about, but there's a lot of people who aren't self-motivated. There's a lot of people who don't have tenacity.
Yeah.
How do you plug that in and say, look, it's going back to the mind shift. Yeah. How do you get that?
Because that someone is me some of the time. And it was absolutely me all the time in the beginning of the book. So I don't tell them what to do. I tell them about me. Here's what happened to me. Here's where it brought me to rock bottom. And here's what happened when I got desperate and found something that I really cared about and decided to start trying. And then here's what happens when I keep trying. And in case you're not getting the message in my story, I'm not telling you what to do. Here's Scott Hamilton telling you about fighting brain cancer. Here's Jonathan Cain writing about Don't Stop Believing and why he wrote it. You know, here's, you name it, Peter Frampton talking about the 16 years after having the number one album in the world where he couldn't get arrested. His career crashed so hard for 16 years, but then he rose like the phoenix. Here's like all these stories and all these people that inspire the heck out of me who also agree that life is better when you try.
Yeah,
and just go ahead and do it.
Did Bubba inspire you with his front, his
absolutely,
yeah, first absolutely. Responder action?
Yeah. For the record, he charged into the flames as far as he knew, and I sat here and cowered a little bit. Did you see me quiver?
Oh, yeah, listen, he runs in where we run out.
He was, So
for the record, I
feel a little ashamed. You know what? Don't read my book. Go,
I literally ran around the building smelling, going, I don't smell smoke.
Bravely.
Yeah.
Bravely smelling.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. Do you need a tourniquet? He has one in his car.
I have one in here.
Not yet. Yes. Thank you, though.
I keep a tourniquet in this room.
Tourniquet.
Yeah, and I keep fire extinguishers.
What's the best concert you've ever been to that was not yours?
I worked it. I did David Bowie's Sound Vision Tour in 1990.
Oh, no way.
And the opening of that show, I have goosebumps already thinking about it. We had this is before. Like big video was just becoming a thing, and we had a screen. If you look in a screen door at night, you can see right through it. During the day with the sun on a screen door, it's like solid. You can't see through it, right? So we took in windows, same thing. During the day, you can't see in windows. We did a 60-foot wide screen, and we unrolled it really fast like a screen door, and then we lit David from behind it while he sat on a bar stool to open the show, and he starts doing Space Oddity, strumming on his guitar, and you don't realize there's anything in between you and David. And the moment he goes to sing the first line, he turns and looks up over his own shoulder, and his head 40 feet tall, leans in, and he sings Ground Control to Major Tom.
That's cool.
And the whole arena stops breathing. You could just hear the whole arena, the life suck out of him and go, and it's fun. In America, you'd see people go like, holy explicative, blank, yeah. Holy whatever. And so one of the fun things I did is we took it all over the world, was look and try and guess what word the foreign people were saying. I'm like, I wonder what
crikeys
that word sounds like here. And you just see lips moving as people were just, yeah. But that's my favorite thing I've ever done. And working with David was so phenomenal. He was so beyond us all. Listeners, if you get a chance, just Google some of David Bowie's talks. That guy was so beyond brilliant and saw this world in so many layers about things like the internet. Look up his talk on the internet.
Oh my
It'll
gosh.
Melt your brain. He called what the internet was as it was being born. And the guy from the BBC is not getting it. He's going, David, it's just a way to communicate.
Nope.
And David's like, no, it isn't. He goes, it's a life form. He goes, is there life on Mars? There is. And now it's landed here. He goes, the internet will change everything about how we do everything. And the guy from the BBC is going, you know.
It's so spooky. You think it's that really David Bowie had traveled through
David
time.
David is brilliant.
Yeah, because he did. He foresaw all of it.
I could not believe he died. In my mind, he might not have been human. He was so superhuman, and everything he did and how he saw the world. And when he died, I just died a little bit. I was like, no, he's not. He's the man who fell to Earth. He's not like us.
Do you believe in the paranormal?
I believe in a lot of things, and I do believe in paranormal.
What do you think ghosts are?
I don't know how to describe it, but I grew up in an exceedingly haunted house where the person who built the house would make himself visible to people. So I never to me, but to my father and to
textured or like shadowy,
solid, even moved objects once in a while.
Like that dude
when
I
something
saw.
Was happening in the house he didn't like. And I finally, my dad, and I would feel him, like, we all, like, sort of, but my dad said, I think he doesn't, my parents got divorced, and my dad would be in bed with another lady in the house, and he would appear then, or if the guy who had the cows didn't
He would appear
show
to
up.
Your dad in the room?
Yes, and the lady, and at night, yeah, terrifying, and then, Ruth Ann, if you're listening, that was a wild ride, but yeah, love her. And the guy, so my dad found this picture in the attic and was like, oh my God, this is the guy. And he thought maybe he could appease him by putting it up in the living room. And the guy who keeps cows in our pasture, who was renting them, walks in to write my dad the check and looks up at the picture and turns white as a ghost. And my dad's like, what? And he's like, nothing. And he's like, did you see something that made you feel weird? And the guy's like, nope. And he's like, is it that picture? And the guy's like, maybe. And my dad's like, have you seen him? And the guy's like, maybe. And my dad's like, I've seen him. And the guy goes, if I'm late to feed the cows by more than half an hour, he's waiting for me in the barn.
What? God,
gives him a dirty look and then walks it, right? So I never saw him. But I believe there's so much more to this world, this universe.
Yeah, man.
And you know, than we know, right?
We don't have a clue, man.
Yeah.
We have no idea.
We don't. But
we're
isn't it fun learning?
Think that
so
we
we're
do.
Learning what we're supposed to learn. We're going through our lives, like, you know, and I do believe there's a heaven beyond, and I can't wait to see what that's all about. But in the meantime, isn't life just fascinating, and isn't it an incredible universe we live in?
You know, and it's even take it so far as to say, like, intuition. A woman being on an elevator, and the door opens, and there's a guy there, and she just knows.
Yeah.
And well, that is supernatural.
Is it supernatural or is that just a cat is born with the ability to still act like a cat.
But that's supernatural to me.
Yeah.
I think that's instincts supernatural to me.
One of my guests, and I tried to get all walks of life, people I admire. One of my guests is a Navy SEAL, and he talks about, I don't remember if it made the book because so much had to get cut to fit my word count, right? But Jason Hendo Henderson talks about standing outside a door he's about to kick in and all of a sudden going, something's here. As he's like raiding homes, you know, to like try and take hostages, things like that. And, you know, sure enough, there'll be something in that door. There'll be a bad guy on the other side of the door.
He
feels like, you know, he was...
Yeah, you have to trust that.
And maybe that's why...
Dude, it's like when you know you're being watched.
Yeah.
you're outside and you're like, somebody's watching me. You can just
feel
it.
We're all connected. Yeah, in ways that are just, and there's some, we touch on some interesting things in here. I do a little interesting therapy at one point in the book to overcome some PTSD. And that reveals to me a whole level of existence in the universe that just confuses me still.
Ayahuasca stuff?
I want to do ayahuasca.
So I went to a facility that is very, yeah, I believe so. But at first, the ones I talk about in the book, I went to a facility and very structured. You have to do a bunch of therapy before they let you come in. Then you sit and there's a doctor there and there's a nurse there. And it's not like go hang out with some hippies and do some drugs. But I have some pretty serious PTSD to get over.
I
used it as a tool. And it was incredible what happened to me in my time in the medicine. And I talk about, there's a whole chapter on you're the most important part of your journey. And how do you be the best version of you? And I call it a look in the mirror. And it's by just looking in the mirror and like don't be afraid to see who you really are, because that was the terrifying thing about the medicine. Like, when I went in, I was afraid that I was going to embarrass myself. I was afraid I was going to come up with some sort of repressed memory, and I was literally afraid I was going to wet the bed. Mm-hmm. When I got out of it, I said, no, I actually saw so many things, but one of the things I saw was that I was terrified that I was going to see myself in the medicine and not like what I saw. And guess what? I did see myself. And I loved me in all my imperfect, like wild imperfectness. And I am so imperfect. Mm-hmm. But I loved me. And it gave me incredible perspective on the traumas in my life that helped me process them. I'm such a huge fan of that work. It's not for everybody, but for man, people who are struggling with something, you can drag it around like an anchor, or you can do the extra hard work of reeling that anchor in. Colin Wilson talks about that. One of the Predators is in here. I used him as my athlete.
Predators, the hockey team, not like an actual Predator.
No, not like an actual.
Right.
And he played with severe OCD his whole career, and he was in denial about it and didn't like the medicine, and just it about killed him. And his story is heartbreaking, but he's like, look, guys, I'm not telling you the story so you feel sorry for me. I had an incredible life, and I lived my dream, but some days it was a nightmare, and what I'm telling you this story for is I just wish in hindsight that I had done the extra work to face my problem and try and reel that anchor in I was towing around with me all those years. So I like to think that I faced that problem and towed that anchor and pulled it in.
I've watched several videos on like ayahuasca, DMT, all that kind of stuff. And the one that blows me away still is the guy who lived an entire lifetime.
Yes.
Had a family.
Nothing like that happened to me, by the way.
No, but I'm saying he had a family. Yeah. He had like grandchildren and all this and then passes away. And then when he passes away, he wakes up back in this world again. He's like.
Fascinating stuff.
And he totally rethought the way life should be lived. And he's like, I see it. I've lived it all. So now I know how to live it right.
Yeah. I see myself differently. And I see some of the big characters in my life differently because of the perspective. I saw. From I got outside of my ego and all the ways of thinking that I have developed to protect myself and all of the little windows on the world that I look through were just windows. They weren't the whole picture. And all these walls that filtered out the information that I didn't want to hear because it didn't fit my story and it made me afraid, all that goes away, that part of your brain. So the scientific version is that part of your brain goes to sleep. And all of a sudden you just think and see the world and yourself differently in beautiful ways, beautiful ways. And you come out of it a better person. And I was worried about so many things. And there's always the, you know, is this, should I be doing this? Is this a bad thing? You know, is it whatever? And is it going to hurt my faith or anything like that? No. It
probably strengthened it.
It strengthens it. The more I see this universe more I love everything about it.
So the way I feel about UAPs and stuff like that and the UFOs and aliens, and they're on the ground, they're in the water, oceans, they're coming in a vapor. To me, it's like that's even more that's a
fun.
Creator. That's
is
a creator.
It, yeah, it is. Yeah. It is. Absolutely.
Have you seen where you get on DMT? I did this the other night when I was on DMT.
Yeah.
And you shoot a laser and you diffuse it.
I kind of want to try that, but I don't do any of that recreationally, and that feels like a bit of a field trip. But at the same time, I'm so fascinated.
What happens to the laser? What are you talking about?
So you get on DMT, and
can I? What is DMT?
It's a big one. It's got a giant word.
It's like dimethyl.
Is it a drug?
Yes, but it's one that naturally occurs in your body, and apparently, it's what your body produces in the most traumatic moments. Okay. Usually, they say like right before death, you'll experience a flux of DMT entering your body.
This spirit molecule. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's like a fast acting psychedelic. Mm-hmm. And people would take it. They would get on this DMT, and they would shoot like a leveling laser that you would use in construction or whatever. And you diffuse it, right? You kind of break it out to where it gets wider.
Yeah, I don't know.
And so it gets wider, and as you get down to it, and you start looking at it, people see
code,
all these different
symbols,
characters, and symbols,
and like the Matrix.
It's like the Matrix.
In the green laser, you see the little numbers and stuff.
Like people, binary code.
And people see the same thing.
Yeah.
And they can, and they're looking at it.
Yeah.
And to me, it's the most universe thing, I always go, that's magical. But then you go, but you're on a drug.
Yeah.
To me, that's the most universal thing where it kind of goes, it's magic. Nah, it's not really. But it's magic. It's yin and yang.
Everybody sees it.
It's yin and yang.
Why does everybody see it?
Right.
Like you and I might see it because we've heard about it. But people who hadn't heard about it.
They still see it.
Saw it too.
They see it too.
They were like, hey, what are you seeing here? And they're like,
what is that? That's a thing.
And then they were like, oh, wow.
Yeah. Well, that's not there.
Isn't it cool to be alive?
Right.
And
you could be on a farm up in upstate New York.
Milking a cow.
30 minutes late.
Milking a cow.
Some dude showing up going, where you been?
And now here you are.
Tom.
You've gone through that, and now you're rubbing shoulders. And who says rubbing shoulders? Elbows is the word. You're rubbing shoulders and elbows with these big
touching
entertainers. Big entertainers and important, ish people, that have lots of influence. You've come a long way, man. Like you...
I just had fun.
You have a book.
And I will say, in the beginning of the book, I'm flunking out of college. I'm working at a Howard Johnson's on the side of the highway.
Man, I love me Ojo.
And so, yeah, right? But, that's what it's all about is the journey. And I feel lucky for the hardships now because they've taught me so much. But I present myself not as the most tenacious person in the world. I'm far too dysfunctional to be considered that. But I may be the most improved, and it's the thing that's made all the difference in my life. I live a life I love now, and I'm so proud of it because I didn't give up. But isn't it cool that I could hopefully share that story and make someone else feel that way a little bit? And so that's what I'm trying to do in the book.
It's good. You're not an egomaniac. I always say no one knows what they're doing, man. No one does. We're just all kind of trying to get through this together.
We get close.
Totally.
We're just trying to get,
Share what you learned, and definitely share the stuff where you messed up. I share a lot of dumb ideas in here and things that didn't work because you got to hear that, right? That'll teach you as much as hearing the good stuff. I quote Ed Sheeran. He's not one of my contributors. I don't know Ed, but I admire him. I quote him. He does this whole rant on failing, on how important it is and how people don't put enough into failing because that's where you learn everything is through your failures. I also quote Johnny Cash, one of my heroes. He says famously, failure is like a stepping stone. Don't dwell on it. But, it's...
Yeah, somebody actually asked me one time what I regret the most about the way I raised my kids, and all. I said that I didn't let them fail as much as I should have. We protect people so much, especially our own kids, because we don't want to see them suffer. But at the same time, that is what builds character. That is what builds us into who we become. And I wish that, as a father, I would have let them fall down more.
Yeah. Well, right after this broadcast, we're going to go find them, and we're going to make them fail.
We're just going to push them.
At a few
them.
Things, not just one.
Well, can you imagine being him being your dad, and Mr. running into danger?
I would be honored to have you as my dad. I don't know if you're accepting applicants,
kids,
but I think you'd be. I know you're an awesome dad. I think it'd be fun.
Oh, he plays Where the Devil Dances.
So that's a no.
He plays Where the Devil Dances.
All right,
that's the
going
best.
Going to work.
That's the best. Well, Scott, whenever we decide to do a Big D and Bubba a tour, a stage tour, we're going to call you.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll give you our budget.
Yep.
And I want to be able to swim.
It's going
to
probably be puppets.
If I jump in, can it turn me into like an orca?
Yeah, definitely. Okay, that's pretty easy.
Yeah, that's kidding me.
That's pretty easy. Yeah, we'll do that.
An orca with elf ears?
Uh-huh. Definitely. You just tell me. It'll be AI, so you got to be okay with working with AI, but that's easy.
Or what if I'm an orca orc?
Orca orc.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like Lord of the Rings.
With like a club, maybe, or something.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Let me wrap this up. Tenacious is the name of the book. It's Tenacious, the Art of Relentlessly Pursuing Your Wildest Dreams.
Yeah.
Scott, I'm sorry, Scott. Did you hear that?
It comes with its own theme sound.
Yeah, you were supposed to hear
it. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So we collect these things called golds. It's when callers call in and it's a conversation about who knows, a birthday or a request or something. And this will have something that stands out to us. When we hang a piece of audio.
Yeah, we hang up the phone and they say something.
And so we go through and Bubba will take the audio and we'll go and find that little piece that we all loved and we collect them like cards. And so we have, I don't know where that's from, but it's great. And we have a bunch of them. We have literally hundreds of them.
Big D and Bubba,
the
radio was way too loud.
That was the lady who called and complained because her radio was too loud and wanted us to turn it down.
Wow.
That's beautiful.
Did you help her out?
Yeah, we said, we'll turn it down. We're so sorry. Yes, ma'am.
So we did.
We're good Southern boys.
Yeah.
We do. Yeah, we respect. Yeah. The book is called Tenacious from Scott Scovel. Scott, thank you. A pleasure. Finally, we get to meet you.
Yeah, no kidding. I can't believe.
Like, I know.
Yeah.
Is there an audiobook version of this?
No. Go out and buy the hardcover.
Okay.
Wink, wink. Right. Okay. Because only the hardcover counts towards the New York Times list.
Oh.
Wink,
wink, wink, wink. I see.
Winkety, wink, wink, wink. It will be a long time. We haven't started it.
Okay.
So if you please go out and buy the book.
Yeah.
And I think eventually, but they advised me to not do one. But I do love audiobooks.
Real quick, though, I just want to, because now I have a new question. If somebody had an audiobook out at the same time, if somebody gets the audiobook, it doesn't count?
Yeah, it doesn't count.
Wow. So if you have a favorite author that you want to support, then definitely buy the hardcover, even if you're not going to read it.
It is dumb.
That's a dumb rule.
I agree, but it's sort of like
the New York Times wants you to actually read.
Yeah, they do.
Yep. Not listen.
Wow. Yeah, but USA Today also. And Amazon, it doesn't count towards their number ones.
Wow.
Really?
And
Amazon?
We're really trying
with Audible?
To, you know. Yeah,
yeah that's good.
Wild.
It's good to know.
Well, it counts towards their Audible standings.
Right,
which
but not their.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, so Tenacious.
But we were number one in Amazon Tuesday.
One
in
last
sports
thing.
And entertainment.
Yes. Congrats.
What is the Thank cover? You. Is this Donkey Kong or what's going
it
on here?
It is Donkey Kong. It is, I had this idea of rocket ships because I'm such a space nut.
Okay.
And they were like, cool, except you didn't write a sci-fi novel. So what about this? And I was like, oh, that's awesome.
Oh, you brought a book in?
Yeah. This is yours. It actually, I'm going to sign it to
it?
You and
awesome.
Everything. Yes.
Okay, cool.
Yeah,
Thank you.
Yeah. Yep. But it's just people climbing up allegedly, and then there's a little
the
character who's made it all the way up the maze.
I thought
and he's
saved
hanging on
the
to
princess.
The top. He did. You know, he was like he was doing his best Bubba imitation.
Scott's
he
like,
heard there was a fire, and he was climbing the ladders.
The ladders.
And just
Scott's
making.
Like, we spent 4 hours in a meeting over this cover, and he doesn't even get it.
He's totally thinking Donkey Kong.
Yeah, and your vasectomy. So we really
twice.
Yeah, you're plural. Sorry. What is the plural of vasectomy?
Vasectomy.
Okay.
I had no idea. I said, well, listen, the second one is going to be free. He goes, oh, absolutely. I said, and you're going to knock me out.
Yeah.
He goes, okay.
No pina colada for that one?
Yeah.
Cool.
You know, last thing, and I always remember this, I want you to have this too. Before I went out from the anesthesia, my doctor, I'm in the operating room, and he says, they gave me the juice, the happy sleepy juice, and I'm riding the wave, and I hear him go, I think let's just frog leg him, and we'll just kind of have it so that'll be a better access. And then I went out and I woke up, and I realized
You were frog-legged.
Riveting story.
He meant
riveting.
He meant my legs being spread.
That's Scott, what
I appreciate the riveting.
That's what that meant. Yeah, that was a good joke.
That was great. I like Scott. That.
Scott, anytime you can come by.
I love it. I love being here. You guys are fun.
It's called Tenacious. We'll say it again. Tenacious. Scott Scovel. Bubba, hit it. Let's go. So we take you out with our special song.
This was the podcast, but now it's over.
Hologram Tupac?
Okay, because you can listen to
oh no, it's LED Carrie.
On the radio every day.
Brad Paisley's in the pool.
It was the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Yeah. The Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Yeah.
The Big D and Bubba
Is that
Weekly
Donkey Kong?
Podcast.
Yeah. The Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
I'm sorry.
Calling our bud, Justin Moore. Congratulate him on...
Hey, man.
Hey, what's
congratulations.
Up,
you got your GED. Yay!
What's up, guys?
Man. Dude, hey, man, we were talking. Congratulations on the new number one. This is your 14th number
Thanks,
one.
Man.
And did you know?
Crazy.
I don't know that you've even gone through all this, but have you seen the list of like where you stand and like
with your peers?
Yeah, it's like you
and Keith Urban have the same amount of number ones,
and George Jones.
Are you kidding me?
No. Dude, we would never kid you.
Oh my gosh.
You and George Jones have the same amount of number one songs.
That's insane. I remember going to, when I moved to town, I was 18. This was 02. And I thought, man, if I could just get a record deal, even if I don't ever get to put anything out, then I can go back home and be proud. You know, stand tall, puff my chest out. And then we had a hit. And I thought, it's all right if I'm a one hit wonder. And then you have one more and another one and another one. And it's amazing, man. I'm so blessed that you guys at Country Radio have been so kind to me, and nobody's been better to me than you two guys. And the fans have been there from the get-go. And,
well, I think that, you know, Justin,
it's just amazing, man.
I think that it comes down to a couple of things. Number one, you have great songs. Your selection of songs is really good. But I also think that people see you as, like...
You're real. You're not some ego-crazed person. You're just Justin the dude who then turned into Justin the dad.
Yeah, and everyone relates to it.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you saying that, man. I try to be. I'm still trying to make my mom and dad proud, you know. I try to be humble, and I feel as though I am. But you saying that is very much appreciated.
Yeah. So the rumors are that you're retiring. This is the last year, or what?
If I didn't have three weddings to pay for, maybe. But no, hopefully we got another good, you know, this is our 19th year, which is crazy also. Hopefully we have another 19 or 20 years, man.
Yeah,
that's the goal.
Well, the thing is, though, with 14 songs.
14 number one
14
songs.
Number one songs. All right, so...
That's not counting the non-number ones.
How many songs do you sing in a concert normally?
We usually play like 90 minutes. We'll play...
What's that? What's the math on that?
Probably 17, 18 songs.
Okay.
Almost every one of those is going to be a number one.
Yeah. So like the other stuff, you're like you're spiking in like some new songs, or do you even do covers at all?
Well, This is going to sound boastful as well, and I don't mean it that way, but you know, we have a number of hits that didn't go number one,
yeah.
You know, that are top 10, top 5, whatever.
That's what we were just talking about. Yeah, you fill it all up.
So
I didn't think about that.
Oh, this is my favorite song. Oh, this is my favorite song. Oh, this is my favorite song. It just goes on and on and on.
I do wish you would release Broken Heartsville, your version of it, because it's so much better than Joe's. He is so...
Man, Joe could sing the phone book.
Dude,
I know.
Dude, he's so good.
He's like
so
a superhero.
Good. He really is. Well, listen,
Justin. And y'all's next guest.
Yes, he's our next guest. It's good talking to you, man. Congratulations on everything. And make sure you support Justin Moore. See him on tour. Just go online and get all the information on a touring schedule. And take care of those girls. You still coaching the softball?
I am, yeah. My daughter is actually leading her high school team in home runs.
What?
She's batting over 350.
Wow.
Has zero errors through 12 games. Playing great.
Gonna be she's gonna be going to Arkansas. She want to try?
I don't know if she's that good. She's okay. A good player. She could play in college, but I don't know if she's.
Jeez, Dad. SEC good. Right, wow.
Well, I mean, I'm
honey, you're not going to be an astronaut. You're too big.
And that is what caused her to succeed.
Yeah, that's right.
Dee knows what I'm talking about. He's got a baseball player.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I get it. You got to take your dad goggles off sometimes and be like, okay, here's the reality.
Right.
Have you ever been kicked out of the dugout because they think you're some kid just hanging out in the dugout?
Really?
Like, he's not
really?
Even a player.
Really? Nice conversation we're having. He has 14 number ones and you're going to make a short joke?
All right.
Seriously?
Justin Moore, fire back. We can take it.
Hey, in all seriousness, I really did get kicked out of my son's last basketball game this year for yelling at the referee. I got my second technical, and he goes, you're out of here. I go, good, because I'm tired of watching this crap.
The one and only Justin Moore. Thank you, Justin. Congrats.
Hey,
see you, man.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate y'all.